today is development and evaluation of the bacterial fate and transport module for the agricultural policy / environmental extender or APEX model in Muhong, Yongying Park, Richard Muirhead, Jayhawk Zhang, Yakov Pachupsky, Yakov presenting.
Yeah, I apologize for coming the third time. I mean, I never had it before. Anyway, so why was it done? I guess you saw this graph already. We have continuously increasing the number of illnesses and deaths related to the produce, and it's irrigation water is something to look at. So what did we do, and why we do this? So what do we have first? We have SWOT and HSPF at still two watershed scale microbial fatty transport models, which are used widely. So the problem with them is there are several. One of them is they are outdated. These microbial subroutines and these models were developed in 2002 and never changed. But some knowledge was accumulated since. There is another thing is the scale mismatch. SWOT and HSPF are developed and applied for the large scales, really. They didn't apply for the farm scale or the field scale. And these type of scales are needed because we are looking at the management of separate farms. So this limited management, both SWOT and HSPF, they cover a very limited number of management practices. They just can't handle most of them. And the thing is that there is no readily available alternative. There are other watershed scale modeling which are looking at the microbial fatty transport, but they are not really accessible. It's either something foreign which costs money or something foreign which doesn't cost money. You can't get it anyway. So APEX is a very interesting model which is actually used in to evaluate the conservation practices. It's applicable at scales where site-specific management can be really applied, can simulate a wide variety of management practices. It was done for that. It was the point. Can work under the at least two interfaces accessing publicly available data in the United States, so it's easy to gather data to run this model. And is publicly available. So we kind of focused on this one, and this is the timeline of novel concepts and data which we included in this new APEX bacteria fatty transport model. So in 2007, there was information obtained on the regrowth of manure-borne E. coli after rainfall. So you have rainfall, and you have manure, and you have populations increases. In 2008, what was shown that there is an effect of sedimentary suspension on the E. coli concentrations in streams, and the first model was written on that one. In 2011, the significance of E. coli flux from sediment to water without resuspension, it just goes up. It lives there, it comes to water. Then in 2012-2016, there was an interesting series of work on separation of bacteria and manure into above and below ground, below surface zones. It was shown that you can do it, really. You need to consider it much more efficient if you consider the single store of this manure and bacteria. Then in 2013, there was the introduced thermal time, which was appeared to be to improve the survival modeling. And then there was a meta-analysis done of field database of manure-borne E. coli survival. Then in 16, the manure weathering was kind of introduced and showed how it affects removal or export of E. coli from the fields and the pastures. And then to 2017, the release of manure follows the Russell equation, which was not obvious, but it was built in APEX but never tested. Now we know that's true. And then the concentration of E. coli in stream water columns at the base flow are really controlled in many cases by E. coli fluxes from the sediment. It's not something what we do on the land. It's something which we get in sediment. So that was done, and so all these points were introduced as a microbial module, and when we want to test this thing. And we tested this thing with the data from the Toenepi watershed in New Zealand. It's another part of the world. Almost exclusively grazing lands. It was 7 years of monitoring concentrations, weather, everything which was needed to do the modeling. The modeling was done, and the results were fairly decent if you look at the distribution of the errors observed by the simulated, we are mostly within half of the order of magnitude, plus minus, which is very decent for the variability that we actually have for the E. coli in any water sources. So the model and code are available at this site, and thanks for your attention. There's no post.
All right, thank you for that. All of you five-minute presenters did a wonderful job. Thank you for helping us stay on time. We do have some time now for general discussion. Do we have any questions for Yakov?
Exactly what I'm going to say, but I guess I would say something to the fact that I agree with you that we need to validate things at the field scale first, you know, the agricultural field scale, and then upscale. And because, I mean, there's the SWAT, we're taking the, and APEX, we're taking the opposite approach. We're going from the upscale and we're trying to scale it down. And there's a mismatch, right? And so maybe we could talk about that more. But I think it's important to have these type of discussions.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can say that we are looking at this stuff at several scales, and we have to do this. And for now, there is no really upscaling, downscaling procedures. The world of SWAT, world of APEX, and the world of, let's say, Kineros, which comes one event type, they don't talk to each other.
Yakov, another question?
Yes, my study, my research is on measuring, like, you know, E. coli concentration over time. You know, taking soil samples and, you know, measurements to see that E. coli over time treatment and everything. So, we have been, because we're using cover crops and pulsilator. So, what I do is I take measurements in May, early May, and then come back in 3 months and take measurements, but, you know, after consultation with some, you know, experts, and told me that I think that's a long period of time to see, you know, any effects. So it's better to have a sort of sampling time. So from your study, is there a personal research where you you can, you know, maybe your field is not that deep into soil, maybe, you know, E. coli in soil, you know. But what do you think from your own personal thinking or knowledge of E. coli in the soil? Like, what factors?
It strongly depends on whether you have the manure coming with E. coli. Either you have or not, two different scores, absolutely. But if you're bringing E. coli, it can live there a long time, and the temperature is the driving factor. Yeah. If you don't have, then many things are affecting things. You can find information that is so. You can find information that either pH affecting and temperature for sure. So in let's say in no manure conditions, practically all the important soil base properties would affect.
So treated. So do you expect treated pulsilator not to have?
Yeah.
Like treated, you know, there's some farmers that treated pulsilator, right?
I'm not
composted, yes. If you have something, we expect, you know,
low level. If manure was composted, then you shouldn't have too much.
But there's to be there's a possibility of something there.
Composting, right?
Right.
It's
trickier than we
found.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it is composted, then it depends with what degree and if there what attitude to the compost material. But generally speaking, composting brings you to the situation in which just the soil basically is tension, so water content, and
precipitation. Thank you.
Very good. Any questions for Derek? Well, we're going to come see you at your poster.